Sometimes you'll be discussing with individuals Bible matters, and they will say, "Well, I'm not one to argue Scripture." This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about and answer the question, should a Christian debate? Should a Christian argue his or her case about the Word of God, what they believe about the Word of God? I'm glad that you've joined us this morning, and I hope that our Bible study will be beneficial to you. Notice that I asked the question, should a Christian debate? I'm not talking about a preacher. I'm talking about any Christian, any man or woman, young or old, who claims to follow Christ, who claims to be a New Testament Christian, a member of the Lord's church, a religious person. Should you debate? Should you defend what you believe publicly or privately? Some people would say no. Some people don't understand what the Scriptures teach about this matter, and they would say no. And a lot of times it might be ignorance. They just don't know what the Bible teaches, and that it actually does encourage us to stand up for what we believe in debate. Sometimes it's ignorance. They don't know. Sometimes it's a matter of experience. They have experienced the wrong thing. They have experienced where it was done in the wrong way, and so they believe that all debating should be eliminated. Maybe two people were speaking in a mean way. Maybe bad attitudes were presented. Maybe someone lost their cool. Maybe some bad things were said. Maybe there was misrepresentations, or maybe there was false allegations. Maybe it turned ugly in some way. And so some people don't like the matter of debating, whether ignorance or some past experience that they've had. And number three, some people don't debate because they can't. They don't know what they believe. They believe things, but they don't know why they believe them. They can't turn in the Word of God and defend what they believe. And so they're not interested in debating because they can't, even if they wanted to. So let's answer the question from the Word of God. Should a Christian debate? And let me say here at the beginning of the program that the Scripture answers that yes, a Christian should defend their beliefs, and I'm willing to do that. Are you, friend, are you willing to defend what you believe in debate, whether publicly or privately, even though it is, and if it is handled in a good way, in a polite way, a mannerly way, a civil way, would you be willing to stand up for what you believe? We live in a world today where many people won't defend what they believe. And like the person who says, "I'm not one to argue Scripture," they just don't want to be confrontational about that matter. They want to have the privilege of believing certain things in their denomination, but they don't want to back it up with Scripture. If you want to defend what you believe religiously, contact me. I would be glad to talk with you about that. I offer a public invitation to anyone hearing me today who would be willing to defend what they believe publicly from the Word of God. Would you be willing to do that? I am. That's not an invitation for a fight or picking a fight, but it's in the sense of what the Scriptures teach, and that is we need to stand up for what we believe. I'm willing to do that. Are you, friend? So let's answer the question of the program this morning, should a Christian debate? I want to begin with Proverbs chapter 25, verses 8 through 10. Proverbs 25, 8 through 10. Do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you? Argue, or the older versions say, debate your cause with your neighbor, and do not reveal the secret of another, or he who hears it will reproach you, and the evil report about you will not pass away. Debate your cause with your neighbor. There are a number of things that could be said here, of course. It's talking about taking care of matters privately without spreading them around. But just notice the wisdom in debating your cause with your neighbor. That's something that is a wise thing to do. When there is a disagreement, go to him or her and work it out. Talk about those things. And when we come to the New Testament, we find that it is indeed a good idea and important for Christians to debate their cause. First of all, when you turn to the Gospels, you find that Jesus debated. Some people are not aware of that. They view Jesus as the Lamb of God, but they don't realize he's also the Lion of Judah, Revelation 5, verse 5. He's very kind and compassionate, but he's also someone who can be very firm. For example, in Matthew chapter 15, he debated with the Pharisees and scribes in Jerusalem. They asked him, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread?" And he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" And then he goes on to talk about how they did that. And later, we find out that Peter said, "Lord, did you not know that they were offended when they heard these things?" Jesus stood up to the scribes and Pharisees, and they got offended. They didn't like that. But Jesus debated with them. On the last week of Jesus' life before going to the cross, if you turn to Matthew chapter 21 and chapter 22, that's a long day of Jesus teaching in the temple. And some of that had to do with a back and forth debate with the religious teachers. We find in Matthew chapter 21 that he entered into the temple, verse 23, and at the end of chapter 25 and the beginning of 26, he went out of the temple. There's chapter 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25 are in and just outside of the temple area. And it's a long day of Jesus teaching. And it starts with the religious leaders coming to Jesus, the chief priest and the elders, and they ask him, "By what authority do you do these things?" And he said, "I will answer you. I also will ask you one question, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you, what authority do I do these things? The baptism of John, whence is it, from heaven or from men?" Then he teaches along those lines, and then the parable of the wicked husbandman and the parable of the man, the king, who made a great feast. And then in chapter 22 and verse 15, the Pharisees took counsel how they might ensnare him in his talk, and they sent to him disciples and the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true, and you teach the way of God in truth, and care not for anyone, for thou regardest the person of men. You regard not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, perceiving their wickedness, said, "Why make you trial of me?" And he said, "Show me the tribute money." And he said, "We need to give to Caesar what belongs to him, and give to God what belongs to him." On that day there came Sadducees, and they said, "There is no resurrection." And they pose a potential problem for Jesus, a question, and he answered that. He said, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God." And he answered that. Chapter 22, verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him, trying him or testing him, "Teacher, what is the great commandment?" And he answered, "What is the great commandment?" And the Pharisees gathered together, verse 41, and Jesus said to them, "What think ye of the Christ? Whose son is he?" And he confronted them. And then in Matthew chapter 23, over and over again, he confronted their hypocrisy. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." Over and over again, he denounced their hypocrisy. Friends, Jesus debated back and forth with the religious leaders of his day. And we can certainly follow Jesus' example. Now we turn to the New Testament church. We find the same thing when we turn to the New Testament church. We find that individuals debated the truth. They stood up for the truth. We do need to be someone who's willing to argue Scripture. We don't need to say, well, I'm not one to argue Scripture. No, we need to defend what we believe. If it's worth believing, it's worth defending. And we need to know what we believe, and we need to know why we believe it. Now, before I look at this matter of New Testament Christians debating, I wanted to mention something that happens sometimes. Somebody that knows a little bit about their Bible, especially if they have a King James Version, and they read some places in the King James Version in the New Testament where it talks about how that we should not debate. We should not have debating among us. And they take that English word and they say, see, the Bible condemns debating. One example is in Romans chapter 1 and 29. If you have the King James Version, unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, so forth, haughty, boastful, so forth. A list of sins here, and debate is listed there. You'll find the same thing in Galatians chapter 5 with regard to the works of the flesh. Verse 19, the works of the flesh, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, debate in the King James, jealousy, wrath, faction, so forth. So people, if they know a little bit about their Bible or if someone has told them about these debate verses, they'll say, see, you shouldn't debate. That's a sin. Well, this is a word that is not what we're talking about when we get to these New Testament Christians that are debating. This is a word that means strife. This is a word that means arguing over things that we shouldn't argue over and dividing over things we should not divide over, namely, things that are not in the Word of God. And so you're going to find several places where this word debate is used, meaning strife, stirring up strife and arguing and dividing over that which we should not. 2 Corinthians 12:20, Romans 13:13, 1 Corinthians 1:11, 1 Corinthians 3:3, Philippians 1:15, 1 Timothy 6:4, Titus 3:9. There's several times, other versions translate it strife, but the King James, different places, had the word debate. This is a different word. This is a different concept, a different idea. This is stirring up strife, needless fighting over things that we don't need to fight over. That's a sin. That's a work of the flesh. That's wrong. What we're talking about, and we want to begin with Stephen, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 6, we're talking about where a person, it's often translated dispute. Some of the versions have the word debate. This is a word that literally means to come together and talk together or share together, discuss together. And in Acts chapter 6, we find this very thing. Stephen, Acts 6:8, Stephen, full of grace and power, wrought great wonders and signs among the people. But there arose certain of them that were of the synagogue of the Libertines and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So Stephen is disputing with these individuals, and they falsely charge him with regard to the law of Moses and the temple and things like that. And so we have this well-known sermon of Stephen, and then at the end of it, they stone him to death, but they're disputing with him. To argue, to discuss, to debate, to go back and forth and prove your case. Jesus debated with his opponents. Stephen debated with his opponents, and we can follow his example. The Apostle Paul, right after his conversion, did the very thing. He's baptized in Acts chapter 9 in Damascus, and he goes straightway into the synagogue, and he preaches Jesus there. And then sometime later, he comes to Jerusalem, and he joins himself to the church there at Jerusalem. And Luke records Acts 9:29 that he's preaching boldly in the name of the Lord, and he spake and debated against the Grecian Jews, but they were seeking to kill him. We can follow Paul's example, and we can dispute. We can engage in a debate to stand for what is right. And notice that he was preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And back in Acts chapter 6, Stephen was speaking the words of the Holy Spirit. We have the scriptures today. That is the content of our debate. We're not debating our what we think and what we feel and what we learned in seminary and what the pastor says and the reverend says and the minister and the priest and the bishop. We're debating what the scriptures say. What's in the Word of God? Would you be willing to do that? I'm willing to do that. Are you? And remember, this is not just for preachers. Christians are to follow the example in doing this. Okay? Later, at the end of the book of Acts, when Paul makes it all the way to Rome, we find in Acts chapter 28 and verse 29 that he departed, and some manuscripts, some versions have, having much disputing among the Jews. When he had said these words, the Jews departed, having much disputing among themselves. Paul had been preaching to them that the gospel goes to the Jews and also to the Gentiles, and that stirred them up, and they debated among themselves, should the gospel be going to the Gentiles also, and it caused a debate among themselves. But in Acts 6, we've got Stephen, and in Acts 9, we've got the example of the Apostle Paul. And we can follow their example. I'm bringing out good examples of debating. I mentioned to you earlier where the word strife is used in a negative sense. We need to avoid that kind of thing. I'm looking at the places in Scripture where it's presented positively. Another example of this, and it'll involve Paul again, but turn with me to Acts chapter 15. The New American Standard actually says they had much debate. Are we willing to stand up for what the Word of God says? In Acts chapter 15, there was a discussion before going to Jerusalem and after coming to Jerusalem. Some people had gone out from Jerusalem, and they were troubling individuals, saying that you must be circumcised by the law of Moses and keep the things in the law of Moses in order to be saved. And the apostles had been preaching, no, you're not saved by the law of Moses. You're saved by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. But some had continued saying, no, we've had the law of Moses for all these years. That's still the way to be saved. Or at least we're going to add that to the gospel. And so that was the problem. They were changing the truth of the gospel. They were adding the law of Moses to it as a condition of salvation. So what was done about that? Well, there was a debate about that. The apostles didn't just let that go. They didn't say, well, you know, everybody's allowed to teach what they want to teach or believe what they want to believe. And that goes on today. And one reason why there's not much debate today is everybody is happy with their own religion, and it doesn't really matter that there's all kinds of confusion and division and contrary things being said. Everybody's allowed to have a right to their own belief, kind of a thing. And so people have gotten soft on this idea of even wanting to stand up for what they believe. But notice the apostles immediately addressed this kind of thing. They didn't let it go. So let's read in Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren. They were teaching Christians, saying, except you be circumcised after the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. That's a very strong statement. So they're telling Christians, it's not just the gospel that saves, but you also have to keep the customs of Moses. And so that's a very big deal. What did Paul and others do? And Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and questioning with them. The New American Standard says they had a debate with them. Why? Because that's not true. And what they were saying was not true. And so you need to stand up with what is true and address that. They had a debate with them. And the brethren appointed that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Not because they didn't know how to answer it, but that's where these people, these false teachers came from, and they're going to go back there to the source of where it happened and discuss this matter. And so that's the very thing they did. Verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they received of the church and the apostles and elders, and they rehearsed all things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees who believed. So Christian Jews, Christian Pharisees, saying, it is needful to circumcise them and to charge them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And when there had been much questioning, the New American Standard says much debate, Peter rose up and said unto them, and Peter discussed how that he had been in the household of Cornelius earlier, and they were saved without the Old Testament law. Then Paul and Barnabas stand up in verses 12 and 13, and they talk about how they went among the Gentiles and they were saved without the law of Moses. That's in Acts 13 and 14. And then James stands up and quotes the book of Amos and says that all mankind, all Gentiles, will be able to call on the name of the Lord, and that's without the law of Moses. And so they debated this matter, and they stood up and they defended the truth. That is, the New Testament gospel alone saves, not the gospel and the customs of Moses. And then they even write a letter that can be sent out to others who were affected by this problem so that they can know the truth about the matter. So we can certainly follow that example as well. If you're not convinced, we just really need to understand that debate does much good. People will come out. I just want to talk a little bit about some good reasons for debate in addition to following the example of Jesus and Stephen and Paul and Peter and James. Why do that? Well, first of all, people will come and they will hear a debate, just like a political debate between political candidates. People will show up to that when they might not show up to another kind of service. A debate will create and stir up an interest in people to search the scriptures to see if what they have been taught in the past is the truth. And it will give them a chance to say, hey, am I in the right or am I in the wrong? A religious debate will give one the opportunity to see truth contrasted with error. And this will show how weak the error is and how strong the truth is. Listen, friends, if you think that what you believe is the truth and you're like, boy, I'm really convinced of that and I'm strong in that and I've got strong arguments, the only way you can really tell that is to put that up against somebody else discussing it. Then you'll see how strong or how weak your position really is. If I have some wood, if I have some boards, and I believe them to be strong, they're not strong just because I believe that or I look at it and I think they're strong. The only way to test that is to put some weight on it, to put it up against something to see if it will last. In fact, the English word debate was being used for the first time around the 1300s AD. And the etymology of that word literally means to throw down. To throw down. When you have a debate with somebody, you are throwing down their position. They are trying to throw down your position. Who's got the stronger position? But you don't have a strong argument just because you feel that. You have to put it up against something else and test it. And so a debate will point out the weaknesses or the inconsistencies of your position if your position has them. Someone has said that the harder the truth is rubbed, the brighter it will shine. And this is true of debate. If you believe you have the truth, it will shine through as you put it up against others in their argumentation. You'll either get stronger and stronger, or if you don't have the truth, you'll get weaker and weaker. Do you know that in a debate, souls are converted? There have been people who have come to Christ because they attended a debate. And so it does good. Let me mention some other positive things. It provides an opportunity to appeal and to stress biblical authority and what the Bible teaches. A public debate affords the opportunity to demonstrate that truth is absolute and attainable, and you can know it and you can learn it and come to it. A debate exhibits a convicted willingness to imitate Jesus, like I said earlier. And Paul and Stephen, we want to prove all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. We want to try the spirits, 1 John 4:1. We want to contend earnestly for the faith, Jude 3. We want to be ready always to give a defense, 1 Peter 3:15. We want to war the good warfare, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight. It gives us an opportunity to follow the example of others. A debate provides a unique teaching opportunity because it attracts a lot of different people who are interested in hearing the truth. A debate furnishes time when evidence is presented from both speakers to see who has the truth. So in Acts 15, Acts 7, other places, two different sides show up and the listeners can weigh the evidence for themselves. Number, as you look at the number of great benefits, another one of them is that a debate profits even those down the road. If there is some recording, if it is written down or put into some recording in some way, individuals in later generations, subsequent generations, can benefit greatly from a discussion. You can listen to things that were debated years ago and learn. And then last of all, a debate helps to darken the line of demarcation between Bible Christianity and modern-day man-made denominations. You'll see real quick what is a true New Testament Christian and a true New Testament church and just a man-made denomination. Friends, should Christians debate? Absolutely. Our Savior did that, and the New Testament church did that, and we need to be willing to stand up and defend the truth and contend earnestly for the faith. I'm willing to do that. Are you willing to do that, friend? If so, and you believe there's a difference between yourself and myself, let's get together and let's discuss that. Thank you for being on the program today, and I hope that you'll have a good day.